is Leaving the American Zone. WEDS FX Virginia. You're in the Commons. I'm Sue Bartholomew, and I'm thrilled and delighted to have one of my favorite guests on with me today, Professor Evan McKenzie. Hi, Evan. Are you there?
Yes, I'm there. Good morning, Sue. All right. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. Good morning. Everything. Good everything. Thank you so much for joining me. I know you're very busy. Okay.
I don't think gated communities should be looked at as a distinctly separate way of life that is apart from other homeowner association life. They're different physically, but they're institutionally very similar.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a real core issue here, and it was raised in some of the letters or the emails that you forwarded to me from your listeners.
Yes.
And one of them was this question of how to begin a national organization to address homeowner association issues, and that the person said that he had been met with complete apathy.
Yes.
In trying to do this. Well, I've been involved several times with people who have tried to set up a national organization, because the industry is organized nationally,
mm-hmm.
It's organized at the state level, and it's organized at the local level.
Okay.
So the industry is organized at all three levels of government. Now, what we have with the association, the Homeowner Association Owners Movement, is typically it's only organized at the local level,
mm-hmm.
and in some cases, arguably at the state level. I mean, obviously, the Maryland Homeowner Association has tried to address state issues, and
yes.
A few other groups have as well.
Yes.
But nothing at the national level. And I have to give a little political science lecture here about this, because I've thought a lot about this, what's going on here. If you think about it, there are four ways for citizens to participate in American politics. One is through voting in elections. Another is through being active in a political party or identifying with a party.
Mm-hmm.
A third is through participating in interest groups, like, the National Rifle Association or the National Abortion Rights Action League or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And the last is through participation in a social movement, like the feminist movement, the anti-war movement, or in this case, the homeowner association movement, because that's what it really is. It's, at this point, it's a social movement with aspirations of rising to the level of being functioning and participating in interest group politics. Well, right now, look at it this way. At the electoral level, the movement has no clout because issues that you can vote on and candidates you can vote on have never been presented to people in any meaningful way. That is, there are no pro-homeowner association, anti-association candidates.
That's right.
And there are no referenda or issues that you can vote on, so you can't express yourself through electoral politics. If you go to the parties, neither of the two major political parties, and in fact, really, most of the minor parties, don't have much to say about this. They've never taken any coherent positions on it, with the exception possibly of the libertarians, who tend to favor this type of living because they, even though I think, and I have lots of libertarian friends, and I think it's a fascinating party, but I think they have, in my humble opinion, missed the boat here as to what's really going on. But in any event, that's another story. But third, so there's no way you can join a party and advance this interest in homeowner associations. Third, interest groups. Well, this is what people are trying to do with groups like MHA and different groups around the country, is function as interest groups.
Mm-hmm.
And the problem is that the resources on the other side are absolutely staggering.
Yes.
That you're up against.
That's right.
And interest groups have been surprisingly effective and can be effective in certain particular issues, but mainly, so far, where are they? They've managed to block things, but have only had sporadic successes in getting things passed on their own. And then the last way to participate is social movements. Now, here's the problem. And this is what goes to the problem here. People say, let's get organized nationally.
Mm-hmm.
Well, first, you have to be functioning as a national social movement, I think.
Yeah.
And why is that not happening? Why? And this is the problem. It is because most of the people, if a social movement consists of three circles of people. One is the inner core of dedicated advocates, the people who are on the job and really serious about this, people like you and Fred Pilot and George Staropoli and all these other people who are really concentrating on this.
Mm-hmm.
And outside that, though, there's got to be another circle, and that is the occasional participants, the people who identify with the movement strongly enough to act, to do something when they're called upon to do it, to write a letter to go to a demonstration, to show up and testify, to talk to the media. Those people have to be there. You can't have a small number of core activists and then and practically no occasional participants. You need a large circle of occasional participants.
And we're getting there.
So if the peace movement or the environmental movement calls a demonstration, it can't just be the few hundred people who give their lives to this movement.
Mm-hmm.
It's got to be thousands and thousands of people.
Mm-hmm.
And then outside that ring is the sympathetic public. And those are the people you're trying to reach through the media who are listening to you. You know, for example, the civil rights movement has always had a strong voice, a sympathetic ear in the public generally.
Mm-hmm.
And the problem with homeowner association activists is this. I can symbolize it to give it to you in the form of a historical analogy, okay?
Okay.
If Rosa Parks had been satisfied, if she had said, look, all I want to do is have a seat at the front of the bus. And once I get a seat at the front of the bus, I'm happy, I'm going away, I'm not going to have anything more to do with the NAACP. Where would the civil rights movement be if their activists had been satisfied to get their own problem solved?
That's right.
Where would the feminist movement be if somebody said, well, you know, I got a job in a law firm, so that's it. I'm not going to participate. My problem's solved. And I could go on and on and on with this. No social movement can sustain itself if its occasional participant ring is comprised of people who only want to get their own problem solved.
That's all they understand of this. They bought into the concept that, gee, if I buy in a gated community, I'm going to be safer, and, you know, it's the board that's not allowing me to fly a flag that's the problem. But once I get that taken care of, then there are no more problems.
Right. And with an occasional participant ring like that, you can't have a social movement.
Yeah.
So somehow the people have got to see this as a collective problem that they can't escape and put an end to just by getting permission to put up their own bird feeder.
Mm-hmm.
It has to go beyond this.
Yeah.
And I get calls and letters and emails from people all the time.
Yeah.
And what disturbs me most about this is the incredible number of people who only want to get their own problem solved, and that's it. And I know that that's where it has to be, where it starts.
Yeah.
But where would the labor union movement be today if instead of going out on strike for better working conditions for all working people, et cetera, it was simply a matter of saying, well, hey, you know, I got my raise. I'm not paying union dues anymore.
Yep, I'm out of here.
There wouldn't be any union movement. There wouldn't have been any collective successes.
Yeah.
Well, people have got to understand this, and that has got to be the role of organizers. You know, you have to explain to people why they have a collective interest. Because and it's a very hard thing to do, but it has to be done. Because there's not, you know, this is not something that's going to go away. It's not something people can just hide from, I think.
It's growing.
And you bet it is, and that's where we get to this whole, I call it the micropolitics and the macropolitics. The micropolitics is what goes on inside the associations. The macropolitics is the big picture that association living is a part of. And those two things are connected. And this is what I think many people in the sort of occasional participant ring don't get. That there's a real connection here between what's happening to them and what's going on in the society at large.
Yeah, I think we're starting to get the message. Evan, can we take a short break?